Triple M, it is Malloy.
Look, Satellites he's here. In place.
He's coming in now from Los Angeles, California. It's Jim Jefferies.
Hello, Jim. Malloy. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. Are you feeling better?
I am feeling better. I missed our chat last week. I felt there's like a little hole in the landscape that I couldn't replace. And
what happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Gout. It's gout.
It's gout?
It's not. I'm trying to think of one of those old sepsis. Sepsis?
Scurvy.
No, I'll tell you what I did. Yeah. I had food poisoning because we had a lockdown, right, last Friday. Yeah. So I went to my favourite restaurant and I said, give me enough food for a week and I'll pop it in my freezer. When I got home, I realised I didn't have a freezer. So I only had a fridge. So I left it in the fridge and kept eating it every day. And it got to 5.5 days. When I went, you know what? Those lamb rissoles look okay to me. And whooshka. Next thing you know, Mount Vesuvius out the back door. Okay. The bubbly hot springs of Rotorua downstairs. And it was on.
A rissole will get you. Yeah. It's like the vaccine. You don't know what they put in it. It hasn't been tested. You can't tell.
Get that down to forensics. Hey, congratulations. You've had your baby shower?
And we had a baby shower. People showed up. It was all good.
How'd you go?
Well, what we did was we bought 80 tests. And so people to come to the baby shower, we had a separate room, which was the testing room, where you'd come in and then my assistant would swab your nose. And then after 10 minutes, you were allowed out of that room into the regular party to see people. I tell you what, it made the party awesome because when you're in the testing room, you could chat to other people being tested and you get to know people in the testing room. So you'd make more friends. It's like when they banned smoking indoors in England. When I was living there, they stopped indoor smoking.
Yeah.
They reckon that smoking actually picked up. More people started to smoke because you'd be put out into a little roped off area and there'd be girls there. And you could go, do you want a light? And it was a good way to talk to women outside of the noisy bar. So people were risking lung cancer to get themselves a route, which I understand.
I would risk an electronic voice box to chat up a chick.
Hey, babe, how are you? You look hot.
Did you have a gender reveal at your party? Yeah. Come on,
mate. We had a gender reveal back. It's very American to have the gender
reveal. What did you do? What was yours?
Well, we did it over Zoom with her family watching everything. My wife desperately wanted to have a daughter, right? So she found out just before the review. Then she filled the balloon with all the confetti. And she handed me the balloon with the moodiest look on her face. She just went, there you go. You can pop this.
No.
And I'm just like, let me guess it. It might be a boy, right? Popped it and all the stuff came out and then she looked at all of her family down Zoom and went, there you go, I hope you all enjoyed that. She ended the Zoom.
Imagine storming out of your own gender reveal. Boo! I'm out of here. Tip some furniture over and you're out. It's become a thing. This is what they're saying. You're more likely to die from a gender reveal party than you are from getting AstraZeneca. I just like that. I just think that should be an ad.
Statistically, that's probably true. But people have all those bloody, they let off cannons and the Americans have shotguns that they shoot. And then there's always something that flies off in the air. I love a good gender reveal party fail. It's one of my favourite watches at the moment.
It's not bad. What was my favourite? I think it was the woman who farted on cue and like blue talcum powder came out of her bottle. And I went, you know, that's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, looks like the birth might be easy for her.
All right, let's take a break on that note.
Yep, all right. Thanks to Crown. It's Malloy here on Triple M. Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. We are joined by Jim Jefferies, who, by the way, the podcast's great. I don't know about that. Wherever you get your podcast, download that and enjoy.
I was enjoying your chat about the dark web. I've got a grab here, just a quick one.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll say this. I don't think I've ever done anything illegal on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that I've done that's dodgy where if someone looked at my computer, I'd be in a bit of trouble. No, I've never done anything. I've never bought anything. I've never looked at anything.
Well, technically, you just, you know, like when you're texting people, that's on the internet.
Oh, I've probably texted some illegal things.
See, that's news to me too. I've got to get with a plan on this stuff. So my dick pics are going out on the internet. Is that what you're saying? Here's my understanding of the dark web. We can't get on it, right?
Right.
Is it a tricky thing? Do you have to be in the gang? Do you have to have the secret handshake to get in the dark web?
You buy like an app that goes on your computer and then you can go on the dark web. And the people who use the dark web seem to think it's awesome. And it's like a thing where they go, oh, but people from different countries with a blocked internet, they can talk to each other and you can buy. And there was even like a bloke on this podcast they were talking about who he's from Nigeria and he's the main guy who rips you off when you're trying to get a hitman.
Yes.
Right? So you're trying to get a hitman. They reckon 90% of all hitman deals on the dark web are done through this bloke, and this bloke just takes your 50 grand or however much the person's worth killing for. Takes the money and then he rips you off because it's a hard business to go to the cops going, all I was trying to do was get rid of my wife and I can't believe these scammers, right? But the thing is, they act like this guy's a saint because, you know, otherwise these people could get actual hitmen.
He's doing us a favour. So here's the idea I can't get around, that you can do whatever you want because no one is watching or listening.
I feel like if you're on the dark web or 4chan or 8chan or any of those things, you're up to no good.
Yeah. You're sneaking around.
You're right. There's no forums on the dark web about how good Diana was and she was the people's princess.
There's no cats playing piano. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for. But here's the deal. So recently in Australia, all these bikies got busted because they were using a phone.
I was in Australia when this happened. They put this app is genius. This is a movie waiting to happen. They put the app on.
Yeah, so they put it on. The cop gives it to him and goes, now whatever you say on that is okay. You can't be traced. I feel the same way about the dark web. People go, I'm on the dark web. They'll never get me. Surely someone
web. They reckon that you slip up because eventually you'll have to give someone your postal address. There I am. This is where I live, and that's where you slip up. But I'll tell you what was genius about that app was they made them pay for the app.
Oh, right.
That's the bit. They had to pay like $5,000 or something to have the app. That's what legitimized it because, like, obviously, if I'm paying for it, this isn't going to the government. Yeah. When I moved to England 20 years ago, I wanted to go see Oasis, and I had about £150 to my name, and the tickets were 40 quid. It was a warm-up gig. I met this guy down alleyway. He goes, 150 quid for the ticket. And I went, oh, man, come on, please. I've just got £100. That's all I've got to my name. Please, 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 please. He said, nah, 150 quid. And I said, take it or leave it, 100 quid. And he said, I'll leave it. And he walked away. I chased him down the road to give him the $150 for a counterfeit ticket. Like, that was the genius.
That is unbelievable.
The genius was that he made me want it. He walked away knowing what a fool I was and that I was going
to... You're having a hard time at the moment, scalpers. There aren't many live concerts or venues to be scalping tickets to. They've been hit hardest.
JobKeeper.
We should do a GoFundMe for the scalpers out there. Hang around, Jim.
More with Jim. Coming up, it's Malloy. Triple M, Jim Jefferies is with us. What a treat from Los Angeles right now. Here on
who do you support in the Olympics, mate? Are you still Aussie? Are you American?
I'm Australian. I don't bloody move over to America. I go for Australia. I supported Australia as a kid. I've even got my kid, who's American. He supports Australia in the Olympics because he thinks that's what you're meant to do. He sits with me and I go, oh, we're doing well in the swimming, son. I watch the basketball. It's very hard to watch the Australian events, though, because the Americans don't watch anything besides the American events. You know how, this is the God's honest truth. You know how I know if Australians have won a gold medal or not? The Triple M Instagram page. I'm giving you a plug.
Well done,
I follow that.
Well done.
That one, it tells you right away the Triple M. All of a sudden it goes, oh, they've won it. The four rowers won it. And then I was like, the women have just won the rowing. I was like, that's awesome. And then I refreshed. The men had won the rowing. It didn't stop.
We won that race. The Brits steered off course. They got out of their lane. They went sideways. They did a runner. It was unbelievable. It was like they realized they were driving on the wrong side of the road or something. I don't know.
I like the Olympics. I'm not a massive Olympic fan because it feels like all the sports, let's be honest, bit stupid, right? Everything is a sport that you can't make money out of. Like, if I put all my effort into pole vaulting, would have I made it? Because no one else wants to do it. I've never met a pole vaulter. I've never met a shot putter. I've never met someone who's like, what do you do for a living, mate? Oh, I throw a big metal rock as far as I can and make a grunting noise. Oh, well, there must be a bit of money in that. No, they come home to Australia, and if I remember rightly, they give you a golden Holden and a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes. I used to sell mobile phones with a guy, I think his name was Michael Diamond.
Yes.
He won two gold medals. He's a shooter. I used to sell mobile phones with him at Strathfield Car Radios in Artarmon after he'd won the gold medals.
By the way, if you're going to, I don't mind the shooting, but they need to update it a bit. Something for the sawn-off. You know what I mean? Something for the drive-by.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe shooting at road signs. That Australians would be good at that.
Yeah.
We can hit a road sign from a moving car from about 200 metres.
I used to look at him all the time and think, geez, what does a gold medal, but he told me once, because I had no money to me name, that the Sultan of Brunei flew him over to go shooting with him. I think he paid him like 15 grand. And I remember going, ha, 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 that's the life. You can bloody retire now. I just keep on shooting with the Sultan of Brunei every bloody once
Correct.
A year.
Russell Mark did the same because the Sultan of Brunei, you're not going to believe this, made the Olympic team.
Oh, wow.
Did he?
Because he's the Sultan. And basically, Russell Mark's told me the same story. And he was staying at his palace, which had like fully golden taps and gold and everything.
Yeah.
And he said, when the Sultan of Brunei loaded his gun, there was a guy standing there with a pillow and the bullets were on the pillow.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to take the
no
bullets
way.
Off the
pillow.
Imagine that in the Bronx.
Yeah, that's right.
I say, I'm going to bust a cap in this guy's ass. Pass me the pillow.
Of course he made the Olympics. He's in charge of the whole thing. That's what I always used to think about Imran Khan. He was all right, right? He wasn't a bad cricketer, but they used to go on about Imran Khan being the best cricketer, all the time and stuff. He was okay. But what if he was the prince of the country, wasn't he?
He was, the Lion of Lahore.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which was, no, you're right. Yeah, he just throw him the ball. I'll have another one, thanks. And I think now he's running. He's still running for president.
He's in politics,
he's in a good chance.
I'll tell you a little fame story, which is a bit tragic. So I'm warming up. I'm about to do Vegas this weekend. I'm doing a couple of warm-up gigs because I didn't get to do any gigs in Australia, you know. And so I went out to a comedy club and I did 2 15-minute spots, early show, late show, right? Early show, I do all my material. Everything's going good. My big closing piece was a bit about Michael Jackson being a pedophile. Go through all of his lyrics about how they this and that and how the moonwalk, you know, all these different. But anyway, went great in the first gig. Fantastic.
Sure.
Then in the second gig, all the material went good. That bit died on its ass. And I had no idea why. And I was just still thinking about the promoter rings me up and he goes, I had a very angry Paris Jackson in the audience. I'm mortified that Paris Jackson was in the audience. Like, I have my opinions on her father, but geez, I feel like a right asshole for doing that material.
There are some things you don't want to do in front of certain people. And it's like when your girlfriend turns up to watch you do stand-up and you've got 20 minutes of gear that's got to make for a very quiet trip home in the car. But that's a good one. Paris Jackson.
Amazing.
Well. You know what I was thinking? My friend said to me, I ring him up, another comic, and I said to him, I said, Paris Jackson was in the bloody audience. I can't believe that. He goes, you know what happened? She was probably sitting at home and she thought to herself, it's safe to go see comedy again. What type of hack would still be talking about my father now?
Mate, well done. You've done it again. Hey, Jim, always a pleasure to catch up. Have you got anything? We're still devastated out here. I think you got one show in. You've got to come back and do it again.
We've rescheduled all the gigs. I'll be back.
Awesome.
And I think we're going to add a couple of extra gigs to sort of... I'll tell you what's funny, right? So I said to my dad after the Australian trip, I go, I lost loads of money not doing these shows. And he goes, yeah, but you're just going to reschedule them. I go, yeah, but I would have toured again then anyway.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, but this tour might have been terrible and no one would have shown up for the next one. You never know how these things...
Thanks, Dad.
Real
You've
grounding.
Always been there for me. So he puts his arm around his shoulder in a loving way. Hey, Jim, we've got to go.
So good
on you, mate.
Jim.
All right, thanks,
Always
lads.
A pleasure.
Bye. Catch up with you. It's Jim Jefferies, Malloy on Triple M.